This podcast is a member of the New York City Podcast Network at nycpodcastnetwork.com. Visit us to listen to over 250 amazing podcasts just like this one.
Japanese street style is some of the cutest and trendiest clothing in the world. Introducing Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing and Accessories, the hottest original and cute clothing company. We offer tops, clothes, accessories, shoes, dresses and skirts, and comfortable homeware that we guarantee you will love. Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing, super cute Japanese style clothing.
This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Prayers to everybody who's contracted in the coronavirus around the world. The silver lining of the coronavirus, they say in Italy, see the channels. They notice there's a decrease in pollution, and actually some of the rivers where all the cruise ships and all of the boats, the water is actually starting to be clear. So I guess that's good news, the only, if you want to find some silver lining of good news. Currently in the States, there are over 4,000 people who have contracted the coronavirus, and there's been over 80 people that's died. Currently, Idris Elba just sent out a report that he has contracted the coronavirus. Blessings to him. And there's also a rumor that Oprah Winfrey and Jennifer Lopez was both hanging out with Tom Hanks in Australia may have the coronavirus also. I'm currently lived in New York City, and the state of New York has one of the highest cases in the country. The Mayor Bill de Blasio currently is talking about shutting all the restaurants down. The only way that we're going to be able to eat out is that we have to order. I recently was just walking down Times Square, Midtown, where this particular, I'm recording a podcast now, Gotham podcast, and I noticed that Times Square is basically clear. I was playing, came here on the train. Everybody's keeping social distance. Looking at the supermarkets, and there's still a lot of food in the supermarkets. All of the toilet paper, hand sanitizers, and wipes is gone. I just want to say something. The fact that the toilet paper and the hand sanitizer is gone, but there's still soap in the supermarket is a problem. Because you have to understand that washing your hands with soap works way better than hand sanitizer and toilet paper. Yeah, and there's this fool on the internet who read he hoarded 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer. It would be funny if somebody was just to get a ski mask and a couple of guns and just go over there and rob him for all this hand sanitizer for hoarding like that. Yeah, so it's a very trying time. And what I want to do is I want to give a shout out to the states that are listening. I'm looking at my analytics, and I want to give a shout out to the states that listened to the last podcast, last episode, when I was talking about the coronavirus. Okay, I'll give them a shout out now. Let's give a shout out to Snellville, Georgia. Give a shout out to Aloha, Oregon. Give a shout out to Norwood, Ohio. Give a shout out to West St. Paul, Minnesota. Give a shout out to Dale City, Virginia. Give a shout out to Watuwasu, Wisconsin. Give a shout out to Sacramento, California. Give a shout out to Chicago, Illinois. Give a shout out to San Antonio, Texas. Give a shout out to Indianapolis, Indiana. Atlantic, Georgia. Irvine, New Jersey. Gilbert, Arizona. Oakland, California. Mountain View, California, Memphis, Tennessee, Springfield, Massachusetts, Rockville, Maryland, Mercer, California, Cypress, Texas, Pecostaway, New Jersey, Camden, Arkansas, Bronx, hometown, and Cambury Township, Pennsylvania. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Now, those who are listening to this podcast, what I want you to do is I want you to retweet and tell your friends about this episode, because this is going to be an important episode where I talk about the modern slavery that's in the Arab world. Apparently, there are Asian slaves, black slaves, and Hispanic slaves being taken advantage of in the Middle East. And we're basically going to talk about that right now. All right, so give me one moment to upload the information. Give me 1 second. The Arab states accounted for 1% of victims of forced sexual exploitation globally. Within the region, Syria, Iraq, and Yemen had both the highest prevalence of modern slavery and the highest absolute number of victims, accounting for 76% of the victims in the region. All right. Global Slavery Index Findings, Arab States. So there's a Global Slavery Index. Okay. Let's read this. In the Arab states, the estimated number of people in modern slavery is 520,000. Forced labor percentage is 67%. Regional proportion of global estimate, 1%. Forced marriage percent, 33%. Average vulnerability score, 57 out of 100. The Arab States regions covers 11 countries, including Bahrain, Iraq, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Syria, United Arab Emirates, and Yemen, and is home to 2% of the world's population. The region's diverse, spanning the wealthier Gulf Cooperation Council, GCC countries, and the countries such as Jordan, Lebanon, and Iraq, which are dealing with the impact of ongoing conflict in Syria. The regional study summarizes a longer set of findings, which can be found in the Global Slavery Index Arab States report. Prevalence within the Arab States. On any given day in 2016, an estimated 520,000 men, women, and children were living in modern slavery in the Arab states. This is a prevalence of 3.3 victims per 1,000 persons. When considering the forms of modern slavery, the largest share of those modern slavery were victims of forced labor, 2.2 victims per 1,000 people, with the rate of forced marriage was 1.1 victims per 1,000 people. Over a half of our victims of forced labor exploitation, 51%, were held in debt bondage, and this affected a greater share of female victims than the male victims. The Arab states accounted for 1% of the victims of forced sexual exploitation globally. Within the region, Syria, Iraq, and Yemen had the highest prevalence of modern slavery and the highest absolute number of victims, accounting for 76% of the victims in the region. These regional figures, while important, should be interpreted cautiously given the gaps and limitations of data in this region. Only two national surveys were conducted in the Arab states region, Lebanon and Jordan, both conducted in Arabic, and none were concluded in the Gulf Cooperation Council, GCC states, despite being the incidence of forced labor reported by various sources in such sectors as domestic work and construction in the GCC countries. The regional estimates for the Arab states were therefore built mainly for respondents who were interviewed in their country of residence and reported about their forced labor situation while working in that region. Further, measurement of forced marriage among residents of countries within the region is particularly problematic, where there are no surveys. Taking together, these gaps points to the likelihood of a significant underestimation of the extent of modern slavery in this region. Similarly, it is typically not possible to survey countries that are experiencing profound and current conflict, such as Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. Data from these states are likely to understand the problem. Okay, estimate prevalence of modern slavery by country, Arab states. The RAIC 1, Syrian Arab Republic, 7.3. Second is Iraq, 4.8. Third is Yemen, 3.1. Fourth is Oman, 2.1. The fifth is Saudi Arabia, 1.9. The sixth one is Bahrain, which is 1.9. Seventh one is Jordan, which is 1.8. The eighth one is Lebanon, 1.7. Ninth one is the United Arab Emirates, which is 1.7. The tenth is Qatar, which is 1.5. And the 11th is Kuwait, 1.5. Substantial gaps in data exist for the Arab states regions of Gulf countries in particular. These gaps point to a significant underestimate of the extent of modern slavery in this region. As a result, the country-level estimates presented here are considered very conservative and could be interpreted cautiously. Okay. Vulnerability within the Arab states. Figure 1. Regional average vulnerability scores by dimension Arab states. Let's see. Government issues, 60.8%. Lack of basic needs, 24.6%. Inequality, 41.7%. Disenfranchised groups, 33.4%. Effects of conflict, 40.0%. Overall weighted average, 57.2%. A regional analysis of our vulnerability measures suggests higher risk of modern slavery in the Arab states than is evident in the prevalence data, which the Arab states rating as the second most vulnerable region, 57%. The Arab states regions perform relatively well on the nourishment and access dimension of the vulnerability model, but relatively poorly on the governance and the effects of conflict dimensions. The regional score in the conflict dimensions hides diversity within the region, with some countries such as Yemen, Syria, and Iraq scoring much higher on this dimension than other countries in the region. The regional average or measures of inequality points to slightly higher vulnerability than the global average on this dimension, 41% of 38%. And again, there is a great deal of a diversity within the region, with scores ranging from a low of 25% in United Arab Emirates to a high of 65% in Iraq. Across those dimensions of vulnerability, the highest score was found in Syria, 92%. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to find out the types of people who are victims of slavery in the Arab states. Hold on for a second. Let's Let's see. Shameful and striking. Slavery is alive and beating in the Middle East. This is by Al-Bawa News. Shameful and striking. Slavery is alive and beating in the Middle East. In modern imagination, slavery is often thought as an evil of the past and a period we will read about in the history books. An epoch where horrors we relive watching the movies like Lincoln and 12 Years a Slave. If only that were true, not in the Middle East. The reality is that the scourge of slavery is alive and omnipresent in the modern world. According to the report released by the Walk Free Foundation last week, as many as 29.8 million people are the victims of slavery globally. These are people who are held in bond and labor, are victims of human trafficking, or are forced in child marriage. With over 150,000 states, Mutarana ranks the first globally as the country with the target largest slave population. In other hotspots of the MENA region, Sudan, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and the United Arab Emirates were scarlet letter out as the countries that had the most enormous honor of hosting the most number of slaves. The MENA region recorded the highest number of cases of discrimination against women. In addition, the report said a large number of migrants are forced into bonded labor every year in the region. However, statistics do not convey the seriousness of the problem any more than watching a boxing match on TV conveys the force of a Mike Tyson punch. Truth is that slaves are everywhere. They are in our neighborhoods, cleaning homes, building stadiums, and in our cities, and making good that we use on a daily basis. Writers like Umayya Al-Khamis have exposed the plight of Asian and African maids in Saudi Arabia, illuminating the everyday stories of the higher help being held captive for decades. Like the case of the Sri Lankan maid who was rescued after 17 years of being held without pay or ability to speak with her family. Slave maids have gone so far as compliment and following through with suicide, such as the case of the Ethiopian maid who electrocuted herself in a bathtub. The dreadful conditions in KSA has push scholars like Madawi al-Rashid of King's College, London, to call publicly for the reform application of the kingdom's laws, both to citizens and non-citizens. As Qatar prepares to host the 2022 World Cup, reports have surfaced that at least one worker dies every day during the construction of the stadiums. According to the report in The Guardian, more than half the deaths occur due to heart attacks, heart failure, and on-site accidents. Workers have not been compensated for their work, and many of them have had their passports confiscated. Some of these workers have been denied access to free drinking water. Wow. In Jordan, child labor is rife with some 30,000 children working, mainly in shops, cafes, and restaurants. Recently, reports surfaced of a Syrian 13-year-old Mohammed who, instead of going to school, stands at the traffic lights of Amman hawking items for a living. Okay, it's a very deep article. Let's see if we can find more information about Blacks and Asian peoples, victims of slavery. Excuse me. I'm very tired. Let's look at the Jerusalem Post. This is an article from the Jerusalem Post. Article's title is Slavery and Disposition in the Modern Middle East. Slavery and disposition in modern Middle East. As a nation of immigrants and following 2,000 years of oppression, there are many who feel as though Israel should be more sympathetic to the plight of those seeking refuge from a tyranny. Scott, shocking images surfaced this week of sub-Saharan Africans apparently being sold into slave markets in Libya. The footage released by CNN appears to show Roots probably from Niger being purchased for as little as $400. The reemergence of slavery in Libya is a part and parcel of the thriving illicit migrant trade to Europe. With horror stories regularly reported of packed to the brim boats, the naval equivalent of rickshaws, being falsely capsized by cutthroat smugglers who care nothing of life but the money. According to the International Organization for Migration, 2016 was the deadliest year ever for migrants attempting to reach Europe, with more than 5,000 fatalities. Another 3,000 people lost their lives so far in 2017. Earlier this month, the German newspaper Der Spiegel, can't pronounce his name word for shit, Der Spiegel, whatever, produced the names of the 33,000 migrants who have died trying to teach the European mainland since 1993. The migrant crisis entered mainstream consciousness when, in September 2015, image of 3-year-old Syrian Alan Kurt lying face down on the beach after being drowned at sea made by global headlines. Already, Europe was facing a major influx primary via North Africa from Syria, Iraq, in Afghanistan, and among other countries. The root cause of the displacement is the ongoing hemorrhaging of the Middle East and North Africa, which has left entire populations completely destitute aside from the dim hope of reaching pastures not drenched in blood. The mass movement to Libya of Africans seeking to reach Europe has left millions of individuals at the mercies of smugglers, who in many cases hold people for ransom. On April 10th, Chief Libya Ahmed Besbi provided an overview of the system. Apparently, the migrants don't have any money to reach Europe and their families, cannot pay for the ransom when they are kidnapped. So they're being sold by the smugglers who at least minimum benefit for that, he said. Mohammed Abdeldiker, IOM's head of emergencies, elaborated, these latest reports of slave markets can be added to a long list of outrage. The situation is dire. The more IOM engages inside of Libya, the more we learned that it is a veil of tears for all too many migrants. Speaking to the media line, Joel Moore Millman, senior press officer at the IOM, explained that the prevalence of slavery in Libya is dramatic, albeit and not entirely unexpected, undergrowth and pre-existing abuses directed at the migrants. We don't know that the migrants are subject to all types of horrific, horrific exploitation, including being tortured while on the phone with their families in order to attract payments. There are so many indecencies of migrants being forced into prostitution. We are talking about a completely vulnerable person who has nothing to do. Slavery in the region long persisted after its abolishment by Western countries. Saudi Arabia, for example, formally ended the practice only in 1960s amid pressure from its ally Washington. Yet it still exists in various forms in the Middle East, including the case of migrant workers who have paid low wages. If at all, they get for hard labor while living in squalor. It is true in Saudi Arabia, which is notorious for slave maids, and notably in Qatar, which is the glowing death toll among workers imported to construct World Cup venues have caused humanitarian organizations to call on football's governing body to move the games elsewhere. According to the 2016 Global Slavery Index, I've already read that. Global Slavery Index. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, a quick 3-minute break. Be back to with you shortly. Yeah, this is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Sorry, I had to step out for a second. Yeah, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the Wikipedia article about human trafficking in the Middle East. If you want to look at the article yourself, you can just type in Wikipedia and search engine and human trafficking in the Middle East, and you can read it yourself. So here we go. The trafficking of persons is the fastest growing and most profitable criminal activity after the drugs and arms trafficking. According to the United Nations Protocol to Prevent, Suppress, and Punish Trafficking in Persons, especially women and children, human trafficking is defined as follows. Trafficking in persons shall mean the recruitment, transportation, transfer, and harboring or the receipt of persons by the means of threat or use of force or any other forms of coercion, of abduction, fraud, of deception, of abuse of power or of a position of vulnerability, or of the giving or receiving of payments or benefits to achieve the consent for a person having control over another person for the purpose of exploitation. Exploitation shall include, at a minimum, the exploitation of prostitution or other forms of sexual exploitation, forced labors and services, slavery, a practice similar to slavery, servitude, or the removal of organs. Prevalence. According to Capstein in the Journal of Foreign Affairs, the industrial states have failed to put in much effort to alleviate the issue. He believes that the problem is not one of political capability, but a political will. A challenge in combating human trafficking in Middle Eastern countries is that the governments deny that there's a problem. The lack of political will is particularly the result of empty threats for the international community, but most of it can be attributed to the deeper economic forces and sociological factors at play. In her article in Global Ties, Stephanie Doe states that sex trafficking is a sensitive topic in the Middle East for various reasons. On one level, it suggests moral corruption, which implies that the waning influence of Islamic values in society. On a more significant level in most Middle Eastern countries, because the governments are responsible for preserving tradition and upholding Islamic authority, it challenges their ability to retain a nation unified by Islam. Consequently, if the government was to acknowledge sex trafficking as a problem, it could be interpreted as alluding to the state's diminishing problem. It is difficult to quantify how large the problem of human trafficking is because trafficked persons are usually kept out of sight and in inaccessible locations. Human trafficking is an underground activity, and the victims are referred as the hidden population. The profits from the industry often go through a process of money laundering, making it difficult to trace the activities of traffickers. Girls and women who are sexually exploited by rape, forced prostitution, or sexual slavery are tainted with social stigmas for the rest of their lives. The link to sexual immorality further exacerbates this stigma. Once the link is created, the damage of the woman's reputation can never be undone. 2003, a study published in the Journal of Dhamma's Practice found that 89% of women in prostitution wanted to escape. Additionally, 60 to 75% of women in prostitution had been raped and 70-92% had been physically assaulted. Here are the types of trafficking in the Middle East. For the majority of 1990s, human trafficking was incorrectly defined as illegal migration, smuggling, or sex work. The UN Protocol to Prevent, Suppress, and Punish Trafficking in Persons defined trafficking comprehensively. It's focused on the coercion for the purpose of exploitation. It precludes the possibility of legal consent by the victim's traffickers. In the Middle East, some of the most prevalent forms of human trafficking, forced labor of migrant workers and sexual enslavement and forced prostitution and camel jockeying of young boys. What is camel jockeying? I need to look that up. Forced labor. Today, slavery typically involves women and the children being sold into voluntary servitude by the means of violence and deprivation. There is a clear lack of labor protection laws for domestic workers in the CAC, which is Gulf Cooperation Council countries. The international community recognizes the trafficking of women and its children as a result from modern form of slavery. Many migrant people, many from Asian states, are tricked into coming to the Middle East, where they find themselves in a forced labor situation or worker for very low wages. Traffickers trap their victims by coercion, force or fraud. The forced labor of migrant workers is especially prevalent in the oil-rich Persian Gulf states of Kemet, Oman, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. The workers are frequently held to pay off the debt which they have accumulated from the cross of travel and housing. Trafficking from South Africa to the Middle East is a serious problem. With about 200,000 persons trafficking over 20 years and over 300,400 children over the last 10 years, the International Labor Organization estimates the minimum number of persons in forced labor in the Middle East and North Africa is around 230,000 people. Let's talk about sexual enslavement. That's the next part. Most commonly, but not exclusively, human trafficking is exploitation in the form of prostitution or sexual enslavement. State authorities have typically confused sex trafficking with prostitution. Some young, impoverished women are attracted to the sex industry because it appears to offer quick and easy money. Traffickers often use desperate young women with the promise of a better paying job or higher education into a destination country, where their documentations and passports are forcibly taken from them as soon as they arrive. These women also find themselves in slave-like situations. Once trafficking into the sex industry, traffickers control the woman through physical and psychological means. Prostitution in the Middle East is strictly illegal, along with all sexual activity outside lawful marriage. The religious outlawing consensually further boisters The religious outlawing of extramarital sex reinforcerated this trade and consequently further boosts the demand for prostitution. The issue is exacerbated by the lack of legislative actions taken by states to control prostitution and sex trafficking. Okay. Oh, so they do have an article about camel jockeying. All right, I'm going to find out what it is. Even though the most common forms of human trafficking are sexual enslavement and forced labor, these are not the only cases. The types of trafficking that is quite unique to the Middle East is the forced camel jockeying of young boys. It is a particularly dangerous and violent practice that young boys are forced into their will. Young boys are boys from Bangladesh, India, and Pakistan are recruited around 5 years of age to be the camel. Jockeys in the Middle East countries such as the United Arab Emirates, their parents normally sell them to agents who will go around poor districts and these communities and offer to take male children away from the UAE to work. These agents, sums of money that will be sent to the homes of their families. The parents are typically deceived about the conditions of work. They are led to believe that the children are no longer to obtain good jobs and will have a better future if they remain at home. Usually the boys do not know what's taking them so long. Most of the boy, let's see, excuse me. These parents are typically deceived about the conditions of work. They are led to believe that the children are going to obtain good fathers and jobs and receive and will have a better future than if they remain at home. So usually the boys do not know who's taking them abroad or for what purpose. Most of the boys are not aware that they will become camel jockeys against their will. They will arrive in UAE. The children. They will arrive in the UAE. The children are transferred to Azwazas, which are camel training complexes in the desert. These children are subject to several forms of abuse during the stay, including punishments such as a lack of food and electric shocks. Lack of food is a common practice because their owners try to maintain the weight less than 20K, 44 pounds for racing purposes. Deaths and injuries of children during racing is another major concern. If children accidentally die during the race, they are buried straight away to avoid police investigations of the death. The conditions in the absence are very restricting. Children are not allowed to leave the camel training complex. They will sleep on cardboard boxes, making them very prone to scorpion bites. These children rise at 4 a.m. to begin exercising the camels. And every day they take the camels for rides until 11 a.m. Then they are allowed to rest for 2 hours before feeding and cleaning the camels. Then they exercise the camels again until nightfall. The children are supposed to be afraid to be paid for their work, but that is almost never the case. The agent usually takes the salary and keeps it out allocating to the child or his family. Running away is a virtual impossibility for children deployed as camel jockeys, since the opposites are usually in remote desert locations. Usually children leave when they become too old and heavy or no longer considered suitable for camel racing. The other children are sent home because they are seriously injured from racing. Police or investigation rescues are virtually unknown in the Azwas. What is the driving forces behind trafficking? Oh, you have foreign migration. You have poverty. Foreign migration and poverty. Okay. Yeah, after I read about foreign migration and poverty, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the show out. And before I close the show out, I have some announcements. All right. So let's get to it. Driving forces behind trafficking. Foreign migration. One of the major forces driving human trafficking in the Middle East is the large influx of foreign migration. Research conducted in 1996 on the routes of illegal migration, smuggling, and trafficking concluded that over the period 1992 to 1997, the majority of legal migrants to Europe had originated from Iraq, China, Pakistan, India, or Africa. The Internal Organization for Migration notes trafficking of women from Ghana to Lebanon, Libya to United Emirate countries, women for domestic service for Central and West Africa to Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, and even voluntary migrations of women from Ethiopia to the Middle East, where working conditions are considered to be the virtual slavery. The Middle East is the destination region for men and women trafficked for the purpose of commercial and sexual exploitation. Wealthy Arab men from the Persian Gulf area have been known to rent flats that are furnished with housemaids for anywhere from a few hours to a few months. Most of the prostitutes and human trafficking victims tend to be from Ethiopia, Nigeria, and Pakistan. Very few countries in the Middle East are devoid of the commercial sex industry. Poverty. One of the main locations where human trafficking is prevalent in the Middle East, most are characterized by poverty. Human trafficking is a marketed field by the principles of supply and demand. Therefore, where there is poverty, there is likely a supply to meet the growing demand for sexual entertainment. Economic vulnerability increases the likelihood of women becoming sexual commodities for wealthy Arabs in the Persian Gulf area. Although there are overwhelming social implications, there also seems to be a regional financial patterns that perpetuate this trend. Fewer work opportunities for women has led prostitution as an alternative. For example, in Egypt, women from lower caste backgrounds see that a few nights in prostitution generates more money than 1 month's work in the public sector. This makes Egypt a popular location for international sex tourism. Despite sex tourism being illegal, Egyptians find it hard to turn away Gulf hard currency due to their crumbling economy. Proliferation of prostitution, sex tourism, and bizarre marriages can be understood as the consequence of an uneven economic development, further exacerbated by the principles of supply and demand. The Persian Gulf nationals have the will and the means to pursue sexual entertainment, and poorer Muslim countries can supply services in return for financial security. All right, guys. So before we close the show out again, I'm going to give a shout out to all of the individuals who's been listening to the podcast. Thank you for your support. I'm going to name them again one more time. Okay. Shout out to Snellville, Georgia. Aloha, Oregon, Sacramento, California, Chicago, Illinois, San Antonio, Texas, Indianapolis, Indiana, Atlantic, Georgia, Irvington, New Jersey, Gilbert, Arizona, Oakland, California, Mountain View, California, Memphis, Tennessee, Springfield, Massachusetts, Rockville, Maryland, Merce, California, Cypress, Texas, Pecostaway, New Jersey, Wayne St. Paul, Minnesota, Camden, Arkansas, Dale City, Virginia, Bronx, New York, Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania, Norwood, Ohio. Now, we're going to do some church announcements. Yeah, so I just want to let everybody know that my Instagram page is, Instagram account is BlackKage840. If you go to my Instagram account on BlackKage840, you will see that I'm a comedian, and right under it, it'll say tap my bio. Once you click the tap my bio, you're going to see other places that where you can follow me. All right. You'll have a custom link to my podcast website. You'll have my Facebook page, my Twitch account, my Twitter account, and it also shows my Instagram account. All right. So thank you very much. Please retweet, please share my podcast so other people can listen to it. Need to get my analytics up. Thank you very much, and stay safe during the corona epidemic. God bless.